Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus at York College, City University of New York. I welcome you to this April 6th coronavirus pandemic edition of Vantage Point here on WBAI 99.5 FM. That's in New York on the Pacifica Radio Network. Do appreciate that announcement coming across the air from our in-studio producer about, that's right, shouting out to those essential workers every day to let them know we love them, we appreciate them. Our show today will be focused in large regards on that. We're going to be joined hopefully shortly by the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, our State of Newark report. He'll be talking about the coronavirus update from that city, but other issues as well. Also, Charles Barron, Assemblyman Charles Barron, will be joining us to talk about his condition, to share that with our audience, but also to talk about Governor Cuomo's hypocrisy, if you will. And then I'm going on the soapbox to talk about a number of issues. Yeah, a number of issues today, and I'm really, I'm on fire. Because I think we need to be on fire, figuratively speaking, in terms of some of the issues that are facing us. We'll talk about why elections matter and electoral politics, all those things, and presidential malfeasance, all those issues we're going to be talking about. But before we do that, just quickly to remind people that over the weekend, April 4th, was the memorial of the martyrdom of Martin Luther King, April 4th. It kind of got lost. Of course, because of the coronavirus pandemic. However, it's important to just take a moment, pause, think about the loss of Dr. Martin Luther King. But not only the loss, on the affirmative side, April 4th, 1967, his historic speech at Riverside Church, that speech could be guiding a lot of what this nation should be doing, particularly because this coronavirus pandemic is really showing the ugly underbelly of inequality here in these United States of America. So we want to talk about that. Just want to remember Dr. Martin Luther King. Other thing quickly, I've been saying keep the faith and be safe. This is serious, brothers and sisters and friends. Be safe. Shelter at home. Don't go out unless you absolutely have to. Wash your hands. You sanitize. My wife is on me. She's laughing because I'm wiping down everything. If you go to the supermarket, the shopping cart, the cans, when you come home, sanitize everything. This is a very deadly virus. And yes, wear those masks. Even if you don't have it, the purpose of the mask is keeping you from spreading. You may be asymptomatic. You may not know you have it. So please, let's all work together. And as I'll say several times during the course of the show, go to the website ibw21.org, ibw21.org. We have a tremendous amount of resources that have been gathered from medical professionals, doctors, nurses, social workers, huge amount of data, including fact sheets that will help to guide you through this crisis. Okay, I want to go now immediately to our State of Newark segment that we have the first Monday of every month, and we're delighted that Mayor Roz J. Baraka has agreed to do it. And so we now welcome to our show again Mayor Roz J. Baraka.
Hey, Baraka, how you doing, there? Brother? Glad to be here. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Well, quickly, just want to get right into, first of all, I shared that it is, we unfortunately have people out here who don't think this is serious. And it's not a joke, yeah. But there's some people who think we have a melanin exception if we're black people, for example, and all of this. I just wish you would share with our audience, you know, greater New York and New Jersey, but we're heard all across the country. What are your thoughts about the seriousness of this crisis, pandemic?
Yeah, well, I think that started out in the beginning. People were saying that, you know, it was a kind of false hope that people thought. I mean, because we are hit disproportionately by everything. And we are being hit disproportionately by this. Studies are now showing that African Americans are actually dying at higher rates than anybody else across the country from coronavirus. And it's probably related to the fact that we suffer from a bunch of pre-existing conditions than most people and we have poor access. Yeah. You know, that coupled with our idea that this thing, like you said, we're not taking it as serious as we should, is leading to why we are perishing the most.
Well, I'm glad you were willing to share that, because we've, you know, got a lot of people. Charles Barron is coming up immediately after you, and one of the things that he wants to share is a similar message, because he's being very disciplined about responding to it. Mayor Baraka, as I look at the Office of Newark press statement that comes out every week, which, by the way, is extremely impressive. There are just so many things that are going on. But first and foremost, would you share with the listening audience what is the state of the restrictions or the rules in Newark at this point?
So we have a shelter in place, complete shelter in place. People can only come out for emergency purposes, supermarket, pharmacy, doctor. We're not doing a you can't hang out in the park thing and all this other stuff. We're telling people if you want a fresh air, you come out on your porch, your backyard, stand in front of your building for a little while, but you have to go back inside. We're saying that everybody has to wear a mask outside, and that's to protect people from you. And so they're makeshift masks people can make up. So this idea that the masks are not available, they're too expensive, that a lot of these people try to push. You could put a cloth, a shirt, a bandana. So you see people, our women have been very creative, like they've always been. They're using bras. They're doing all kinds of things. And we accept that, because the idea is we are acting like everybody, in fact, has coronavirus. And if that's the case, then everybody should be wearing a mask. And that's what we are pushing. So we shut everything down at 8 p.m. And so the streets are clear. I think I would say like 85% of the people in the city are obeying us without issue. We also have a joint relationship with the three other mayors around us. And then other people are picking up three other African-American, kind of predominant African-American Latino cities that are around us, who are driving the numbers up in the county between all four of us. So we are locked arms together, and we're pushing the same policies. So somebody can leave my city and go next door and do something different, and vice versa. So we're all together, lockstep on this.
And Mayor Baraka, speak to how important that is, given what we're seeing at the national level with this malfeasance, dare I say. How important is it to have this kind of coordination between the different areas so everybody is on the same page?
You know, because our people... You know, we don't. First of all, the virus knows no boundaries, and neither do our folks. You know, we move from place to place. We got cousins and relatives in other cities that are right next to ours. We go back and forth. So really, Irvington, East Orange, is really like Newark, right? And so we it's important for us to establish the same thing. So if a restaurant closes here at one time, I can't go to your city and carry the virus up into your city. You know, so we have to communicate and push the same thing so people can know, one, that we're consistent and that we're serious about it. Like, so now we're all mandating people have on these masks, and we're going to continue to do that, because that's the only way we could try to flatten this thing out. You know, once the thing plateaus, what we want to do is capture all of the people who have it and identify them and make sure that it's not spreading anymore. Because this kind of wanton behavior and carelessness that's going on out here is harming more people than folks can imagine. And people are dying. I mean, in Newark, we have, you know, we have over 50 deaths.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Mayor Baraka, the other thing I just wanted to share, the innovative, creative way in which, even though people are operating virtually and so forth, that your administration continues to talk about this COVID-19 pandemic in different ways and how people can help and so forth. You have several programs in place. For example, I note that there's a program to incentivize people to take in the homeless. There's another program in which you're talking about, you know, small businesses. Would you just share some of these programs that you put in place, you know, to talk Yep. about how to deal with this crisis in a frankly innovative and creative and life-saving way?
Well, I mean, ultimately, we put up about $6 million. We're trying to get more dollars from the private sector, and hopefully when more money comes in the Fed side, we can add to that. We added a small business fund grant up to $10,000 per business. We put together a transitional housing fund and fund for, you know, homeless to be those who are quarantined and are tested positive for COVID to be at. We got a hotel. We kind of leased it out and got food and security and nurses. We launched a fund for all creative folks in terms of artist collectives and artist groups and individuals so they can keep their stuff alive and continue to do the stuff they're doing. We need them down to do all the things that they've been doing. If they're doing it, even if they're doing it virtually, we need them to continue that. So we want to give them funding to be able to make those things happen. We're about to push a fund out shortly for hourly wage workers around rent and issues around rent. So, you know, that on top of the foreclosure and eviction moratoriums that we have in the city. And we extended the tax deadline, and we did all the other things, the PSE&G, all the bills. We've done no parking, you know, no parking tickets, shut down the courts, all of this stuff. So the city is, still moving forward, but we're doing what we can to help people ease themselves through this time. It's a very difficult, difficult period that we're in, and people need to see that. They think it's a movie, but it's not. It's real life.
Well, yeah, and we've seen these science fiction movies about this, but this like is surreal in that regard, because you've seen these movies about infections and all those things going around. Just how important is this package that's coming out, the CARE package, in terms of helping with small businesses and unemployment and things of that nature? And let me just say, I say that against the context and background of a lot of people, you know, and even people listening to this radio station who somehow feel that political engagement, electoral politics, and that it really doesn't matter, you know. But what we're seeing is that, you know, there's some people from Main Street and some people from Wall Street, and, you know, these things, I mean, people are out there suffering. I mean, and even now there's a question of whether even some of this aid will get to people fast enough, you know, but at least there's some stuff in the pipeline. Talk about that if you please.
Yeah, I mean, everything could obviously be better, but what it is now is good. People, there are folks that are getting $1,200 checks, something that they should have probably been getting, and something we hope will continue even after this. But people will get that kind of money. There's money for small businesses like we're doing. There's extension around unemployment benefits. More people can get unemployment, plus you'll get $600 more on your unemployment benefits. So there's a litany of things that people can get based on this, and folks should be on the lookout for it and talk to their federal delegation, their senators, and their Congress folks to make sure that, even in their local officials, to make sure that they are part of this money that's coming into these states and counties. A lot of the cities won't get it unless you're over 500,000 people in the city. It goes straight to the county and the state, but there's a movement and a fight to get some of those resources that come directly to cities that are smaller. But those are just some of the things that are probably the most pertinent stuff that people want to hear about that's most important to individuals. You know, and then there's money going to corporations, these businesses like the airline industry, but that's supposed to be attached to them not being able to lay off their employees and keeping their employees working and things like that. So hopefully they do that, but we know you have to keep your eye on them. Because it'll turn into something else if you don't. Yeah.
Right. Putting the reins on them. Another area, Mayor Brock, if you would just comment on in terms of is this the whole issue of people who are in jails and prisons and sort of the danger that's posing and actions that are being taken around the country and maybe even within the state and within the city to try to make sure that, you know, in places like Rikers Island and whatever, that this doesn't become devastating to, you know, to folks who are, you know, waiting for trial or people who are already incarcerated. This is a big issue too.
Yep. Yeah, it is, because they're confined, and after people bring it into the jail, once it's there, it can spread easily because it's densely populated, people on top of each other, and it can spread. And people, there's older folks in there, and there are people who have other conditions that can die. So it is important. I think some states are reacting and moving. I mean, we in New Jersey, they have cleared out some of the prisoners from the county jails around the state. Mostly kind of nonviolent offenders that have been moved out, which is something that probably should have happened anyway. But that's you know, them trying to clear out and make more space available for social distancing in these places. That's important. I mean, halfway houses, all of these places where people are on top of each other like that, they have to act and perform differently. And it's starting a movement for that stuff to happen around the country.
Right. And finally, Mayor Baraka, because you have so many things on your plate, but there are some really, really, again, you're making great progress. You reported on it last when you were on last month, but also I see that there's even more progress now being made on the replacement. I forget the appropriate term, the lead line replacements. I'm probably not saying it right, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, lead line replacement. Yeah, that's right. They're still out there, still doing the work. We are probably at about 9,500 lines replaced now. Yep, still wow. Plugging away, which is we are more than halfway done. Well, we're all halfway right. Done, not more than halfway. We're halfway done, yep.
But the important thing is that work continues, and it continues to be a model, you know, for the nation. Well, Mayor Baraka, we thank you so much. We know you have a lot on your plate, but we did want you to come on and share with our audience nationwide, but also how serious this crisis is, but also to talk about the way in which the city of Newark is handling it, but also the innovative, just various programs that you're putting in place to deal with, you know, the plight of people and, you know, and making sure that we get through this. So thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
With us on Vantage Point.
Thank you, brother, for having me all the time. Yes, sir.
All right, that was Mayor Roz J. Baraka, our State of Newark report that we have the first Monday of every month. And again, I don't make no apologies for it. The reason we do it is because we want to focus on Newark. It's not personal. It's about policy and the kind of policies and the innovative way in which the Mayor Baraka and his administration are approaching so many questions in terms of getting this advancing so many people-based, people-oriented, people-engaged policies is incredibly important. We now want to go to our revolutionary in office. We're going to be dialing him in, hopefully momentarily, and that is Assemblyman Charles Barron. He is dearly beloved here and all across the country. Of course, he was about a month ago now contracted the virus. And among two assembly persons, he might be able to give us a report on the other person. Actually, we haven't heard about that. But certainly, I get a call almost every day with someone asking me, how is Charles Barron coming from all over the country? So I thought it'd be a good idea to have him come on and share how he and his queen, his lovely wife and partner, Councilwoman Inez Barron, is doing, but also to give his take on how Governor Cuomo is handling the crisis in the state and some contradictions and hypocrisy he sees in terms of the budget that has just gone through. I mean, just gone through. We haven't heard much about that, but maybe there's a reason. So do we have Assemblyman Barron on yet? Okay, well, we'll keep trying to reach him, hopefully, and because we have a tight window here in terms of our show today, because I am going to be on the soapbox talking about a range of issues. So get prepared. You can put this number in your memory bank, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877 is the number that we'll be asking you to call after I make some soapbox comments, and we're going to do rapid fire. We're going to try to get about 10 or 15 callers in, if there are that many who are interested, because I'm going to do this again next week. We'll have even more time next week to do it because I really want to engage the audience. I want to get their perspectives. Not so much debate today, perhaps. I'm going to lay some stuff out there, but I really want to hear from folks, and maybe at the end I'll make some summary remarks in relationship to what we've heard. The other thing I do want to stress to people, please, not because it's IBW, not because I'm president of IBW, but because what we do is serve the people. We have an incredible array of resources, I might even say arsenal of resources on the IBW website. And that's IBW21.org. Please go to the website and just review that information. There's information that is about, that gives you medical facts and information, not this conspiracy stuff and all that. I mean, what you can do, how you can do it, how you can be safe, and you need to be safe. But also issues that about the disproportionate impact on black and brown people. You know, you need, and what's being said about that and what people are doing about that. We in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century are organizing people to get these messages out all across the country under the leadership of Bob Leonard Dunstan, who is President Emeritus of the National Association of Black Social Workers and an IBW board member, but more than that, a highly respected and reputable person who is pulling together this amazing effort along with a number of allies, the All Healers Mental Health Alliance, the Black Psychiatrists of America, the Association of Black Psychologists. I mean, just an array of folk who are working to keep people safe and to make sure that we're navigating through this. And there are more things to come in that regard. This is like nothing ever we have seen in our lifetime. We'd have to reflect back to a time way beyond us in 1918. This is not like Pearl Harbor, as the Surgeon General said. This is not like 9/11. I mean, these were horrific acts and, you know, and whatnot. But the death toll has already, is far exceeding, those totals. So we really, really need to take this seriously. Unfortunately, it looks like we may not get Assemblyman Barron in. He and I talked the other day. I am incredibly busy and have been all day working on this. I've got interviews behind this. We're working, literally working on putting together structures to help make sure that our people are taking this seriously and that we can be safe and stay well. So I did not get a chance to sort of give him another call beforehand in order to have him be on. But hopefully if we don't have him on this week, we'll get him on next week. So here's what we're going to do. We'll abandon that. And we're going to go, because I really want to get to the phones. This gives us a little bit more time to do that. So what I want to do is I'm going to do this, what I call soapbox. And that's me sort of giving some opinions and then eliciting responses from the audience. And I feel passionately about this because, and I sort of mentioned this with Mayor Baraka, because I wanted people to, we have people, particularly those who are in many instances are the most politically sophisticated, who just don't see any difference between politicians or elected officials and parties. And I've continually said that, you know, I'm a revolutionary too. But I do think there are differences that we need to take into account and that we need to act on. And I do declare that this madness that we see in the White House from the orange man, I mean, we have got to mobilize ourselves like never before. Everybody at all levels, to purge the system from the infection of Trump and Trumpism. This is deadly serious. And you see it reflected. I mean, we're talking about presidential malfeasance. I mean, you're talking about impeachment. He should be impeached for this. There are thousands of people who are going to die because of how this child, this little kid. You look at these so-called briefings, which have become a reality show. Actually, and the press shouldn't really cover them. Actually, it's like he's a child. He's completely over his head and doesn't know how to get out of the way and let the medical professionals talk. He is an idiot in that regard. He may have been something else in terms of business, but in this, he is completely out of his league, and it's malfeasance that's costing the lives of thousands of people across this country. And that is no joke. That's serious. People who are dying needlessly. Now, my point is that you cannot persuade me that there are other people who would not have done differently than this narcissist. This is like narcissism, whatever, how you would say, on steroids. It's like unbelievable. You can't persuade me that it would not make a difference. And how it's reflected to some degree is looking at public policy. This bill, if you listened and you looked at what was being talked about in terms of this bill, one party was largely talking about Wall Street. How do we sell? How do we bail out the corporations? They a multi-trillion dollar slush fund, really for big business. They're part of the empire. Another part of the empire, because people use that term, empire, you know, was talking about, but no. We have to talk about first and foremost working people and working families. Oh, that makes a difference. It makes a big difference. And so you saw that reflected. And in fact, Nancy Pelosi, the moderate liberal, ain't so revolutionary Nancy Pelosi, even more than Schumer. Schumer's cool, but Nancy Pelosi has just stood firm. Nothing's going to happen. There'll be no money for corporations unless there is money for workers. Not only unemployment, not only an extended period of unemployment benefits, but at least $600 more. Now, you could sit up there and say, well, you know, it's all about the empire. It don't really matter. All the same, that $600 matters in the lives of very ordinary people. And so when you're assessing what you do about electoral politics and your choices, you can sit back and say, oh, well, I'm not going to get involved. If you absent yourself from the process, there is the imminent possibility that those who don't give a damn about ordinary people will in fact prevail. And that's what happens when you make these kind of what I call mechanical. And I'm not saying that in a negative sense. I mean, these are ideological sort of concepts, and I agree with most of them. But the only point is you have to apply them, and you have to apply them with nuance, with subtlety, with context. You have to really, really apply them in a way that, dare I say, makes sense. Additional unemployment benefits, fighting for small businesses, fighting to make sure that there is leave, that there's paid leave, something that every other industrialized nation has. And by the way, something that one party as a part of the empire has consistently fought for, while the other party in the empire has consistently fought against. And could you believe that in a scenario where there are millions of people who already don't have health insurance, more that are losing their health care now, that you have the orange man with the audacity of saying that the enrollment system, the exchanges will not be opened? How vindictive is that? That's one part of the empire. Other part of the empire saying, open it up. Give these millions of people health care. Yeah, another party is a part of this empire. And in the middle of this, you know, I mean, the Clean Air Act put forth by that moderate part of the empire, President Obama, you know, to kind of keep the air clean and try to make some contributions towards, you know, dealing with countering climate change and global warming. You know, that moderate part of the empire may not have been the most revolutionary, but it is a step forward. What does the orange man do? Gut it. Still waging war on the Clean Air Act in order for the benefit of corporations. For all of these corporations. That's what he's done. just did this. And then there are other, you know, other things that you could just look at. Scapegoating, and there are probably some people in our audience maybe who'd be so inclined. Scapegoating the Chinese. Calling it the Chinese virus. Secretary Pompeo, that idiot, came out and called it for 1 minute. At least they shut that down, the Kung Fu virus. Kung Fu virus. I mean, trying to just, you know, play it down in that way. Phone number to call is 212-209-2877. I'm on the soapbox. This is the professor on the soapbox. And we want to hear your comments, and they'll be rapid fire. You have a minute, no more than a minute 30. Line up, 212-209-2877. The Kung Flu virus. And then, you know, the attack on immigrants in general. But check this out. Article in the New York Times. And let me just stick with the Chinese thing for a minute. It's Chinese doctors in the New York Times today. Chinese doctors, even though they're being attacked, racist attacks, article in the New York Times, Chinese Americans weathering racism unite to aid hospitals. Many of these doctors you see are of Asian, Pacific background and origin. They're out there on the front lines, immigrants in this country. And then we have people out here who are supporting this madness. One part of the empire is anti-immigrant, anti-undocumented workers. Another part of the empire says we ought to open it up, find a way to include in an orderly manner, folks. And check this out. Article in the New York Times yesterday. People are being very quiet. That food that's coming through, guess why it's coming through? Undocumented workers in the breadbasket in California and various places. Undocumented workers. And all of a sudden, nobody ain't saying nothing. And that's the way they've been played, by the way, over the years. They've been played like that. You can scapegoat them for a political game in a racist manner in order to score political points, one part of the empire. But also that same part of the empire, when you need them, you don't say anything. They're now needed. That's how the food is flowing, because these undocumented workers are in the fields with life-saving food coming to the American people. That's what's happening. And so we need to be clear, at least I think so, that yes, you got two parties, both wings of the empire, but they ain't the same. They ain't the same. Doesn't mean that we don't need to do better. Doesn't need that we don't mean that we don't need a more progressive, more radical, more transformative politics. I am with that proposition. I've been with that proposition most of my life. But the silliness, and I'll call it that, that elections don't matter, that who's in the office doesn't matter. Somebody, I was on a podcast, and somebody said, well, you know, it's going to be we don't need to worry about this upcoming election. It's going to be between two old white men. Maybe it's three, but now they were assuming, you know, Biden. And so I said, yes, there's an orange white man, and there's a white man. And I do declare that the white man is far superior in terms of policy positions than the orange white man. Our task is to crush the orange man. It has nothing to do with parties in that regard. Crush this. I mean, state by state, run up the score. Huge popular. Crush the orange man. And then we'll deal with the white man in terms of a far more radical agenda that we need to put forth, which I stand for, I am for. I ran on, next week I'll go back and quote from you, for my 1992 campaign. I was even proud of myself. I have been consistent in terms of articulating a politics of social trends. I believe in it, but that does not mean that you're mechanical in terms of the application. 212-209-2877. We want to get as many callers in as possible. You have 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, just a minute and a half to state your case. I'm going to listen, and then maybe with 5 minutes left, I'll sort of make a composite response. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, good afternoon, and love to the beloved family. Ron, before you point the finger, you need to listen to your own voice and deal with your own deception and tricksterism, if you will, and step back because...
Do you have a comment about the nature of the political parties or the pandemic and how you would approach it? Do you have something to say about that? If not, we'll go to the next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi.
Good afternoon. You're on with the professor. You're on the soapbox.
Thank you. Two things. One, I was reading some criticisms of the original constitutional principles of the country. And a lot of times, just looking at the original documents about how there's certain inalienable rights and natural law was the reason why we all, the people, decided to take their liberty, and it was in the hands of the people to do it. So I'm not trying to sound like a revolutionary with violence overthrow, and I don't want any of that. But by the same token, the documents say the people are supposed, I mean, Mao says, power only concedes at the end of a gun.
Okay, that's your comment. Let's go. And again, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Let's go to our next caller. You're on with the professor on the soapbox.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on.
Okay, I would just like to make a suggestion. Those who have not already, I suggest that you listen to Bonnie Faulkner, Guns and Butter, on March 18th. In April of 1st, and you'll gain some good insights as to what's going on with this so-called coronavirus. Thank you.
Okay, the so-called coronavirus. All right, we're going to comment on this so-called coronavirus. Okay, let's go to our next caller. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Hey, is that me?
You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, from what I understand, and Dr. Fauci brought it out too, that this virus came from the wet markets. I don't know exactly why they called the wet markets, but I think they opened up again. No matter where they are in the world, we need to close these things, and we need international help to do this. I think everybody should get in touch with their congressperson, call up, and say no more wet markets in the world, because this is where it came from what I understand.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that. I would need some help. I've been watching very closely, but I've not heard that particular piece of information. So hopefully we can shed some light on it. I'll try to get some more information about that. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. We have some open lines. We're on the soapbox. Your opportunity to comment. While we have some open lines, let me just comment on two things. Number one, even Thomas Jefferson said that every 20 years we need to purge the system. You know, he talked about, the right to revolution. The question is, we have the right to revolution. The question is, what do we need right now? Is it for people to march down? Should we march down the street with guns? Or can we use the existing system in order to bring about change? Here's what I will say to you. Franklin Delano Roosevelt did not only move because out of the goodness of his heart, and I do think he was a decent person. There were Hoovervilles. There were people, largely white people, by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in places called Hoovervilles. And they did march on Washington, and they were prepared to march on Washington again. And if nothing had been done, there would have been an explosion in this country. It is not beyond the pale of possibility. I don't think it's there yet, but we have the opportunity to do something about it. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Good afternoon, professor, to you and the family. You were just mentioning Hooverville, and people may have forgotten that first time when he went against the people marched on Hoover, President Hoover, he sent Douglas MacArthur out, and there was quite a few people got killed. And about a year or so later, Roosevelt sent Eleanor out there. But supposedly people who knew him once said that Roosevelt had said, like you said, not for the goodness of my heart, you have to make me do
That's right.
what it is you want me to do. And I was just going to leave with this. We are watching right now the most inept, the most ignorant who ever sat in that house, and not just him, but the others, the enablers who are sitting around him, encouraging him to be stupid.
That's right. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I'm supposed to wait until afterward, but I have to say I agree with that. I mean, this the enablers who are also stupid, you know, who enable them. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your comment. 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi. Are you speaking with me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. First time calling in. My name is Megan. I am in Long Island, which is one of the hardest hit areas of New York State right now. And I really, I'm a lifelong Dem, and this is my last go at it, and I will be leaving the Democratic Party. I will not be joining another party. We need to take direct action. That might mean putting a yellow vest on, getting in your cars, and going out into the street and blocking your local areas, or going into Washington and going with your cars, honking your horns. This is not a Republican versus Democrat issue. This is an issue where there are two parties that are joining together to completely abdicate our control over this country as a people of the United States and give it to the corporations. Mm. And if you think that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer aren't involved in that, I have a sad story for you, which we don't have time to tell. And right now, we are not going to have our retail companies to come back to. When all of this is over, you're going to have four companies that control everything as far as retail goes, and soon you would probably only have two. And when the virus hits, I do not want to see these people sitting in Congress saying it is okay for us to give all of our money to corporations and give crumbs to the rest of us.
Mm. All right. We got you. You got your minute and a half in, and we'll respond to it on the backside. We have other callers. I will definitely respond to that as well. Appreciate your perspective and your passion. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Hi. Thank you for this program. I am a retired nurse who went through the AIDS epidemic. We did not have gloves or any of the supplies that they're talking about. And sadly, most of my colleagues did not die immediately. They died maybe a year or two after and had no disability benefits. So I am asking that those folk who are working today, that this be kept in memory. Should they develop symptoms later on, that they will have disability benefits and all the considerations, because some of them may not die right now, but the symptoms may surface later. So, and I refuse to go out there because this is a flashback for me of all the trauma that I went through during the AIDS epidemic, and that is why they are not getting a lot of folk to come in. We are going through some trauma remembering that experience of the 70s and 80s.
Yes. Really appreciate your comment. This is one of the things, we're working on with the healing organizations associated with the Black Family Summit of Institute of the Black World 21st Century. Again, go to that website, IBW21.org, IBW21.org, to see the resources that are being assembled. We are working on something that I can't announce now that will hopefully deal with this issue of trauma as well, because we have the organizations that can deal with that issue. 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Is that me?
Yes, it is. That's you.
Thank you. A few things. For your edification, Dr. Daniels, I would reiterate what the brother said about checking out Bonnie Faulkner's Guns and Butter episodes from March 18th and April 1st. April 1st was by a journalist who lived in China, and I think it's titled COVID USA for that episode. very informative and educational.
Give our audience just a little synopsis of what those episodes are about.
They're about the fact that this virus is not what we've been told. You know, we've been lied to about a lot of things, and the origins of it, and the fact that one of them talks about how a number of years ago, some scientists from Harvard were collecting DNA from the Chinese people, because if you know, the virus in China only affected Chinese. It didn't affect any other ethnicities. No Americans got it in China. And there are several strains that are, we have all of them in the United States, which is why we're getting hit harder. But there are several strains of the virus, at least two that I heard from another doctor, a credible doctor who's been treating the disease. But that I'd like to move on to something else.
So what is the point, therefore? What is the ultimate conclusion of these two episodes?
That there's more to it than what we've been told, that this virus is...
Yeah, but is anybody denying that there is a virus right now that we need to treat?
Not a denial of the virus. It's how the virus was formulated and how it came about and how there are more
That's useful information that we can talk about after the fact. But right now, we really need to deal with making sure people wash their hands, stay safe, keep their masks on, and those kind of things. Your other point quickly. Oh, okay. Let's go to our next caller. I didn't mind adding this next point, but I mean, I think, you know, the reality is we have in front of us, and I'll talk about that in a minute, a existential threat that we need to deal with. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Great. I also think, yes, there is a virus, but I also think it's much deeper than we all think it is. I think it has a lot to do with money, power, and control. And, you know, I mean, I think it's a way to get rid of mom-and-pop stores. And I also don't think it's going to be an election this year. That's just my philosophy, because I think, okay, how are you going to have an election with all these people? You're telling them to stay away, to stay 6 feet away from each other. Okay, you're going to have an election? You know, lines are already going to be around the corner.
There's mail and there's computers.
Yeah, but can we trust mail and computers in this day and age?
Well, you got to trust something. But I'm saying, I can tell you the way this is going to move, and already people are looking at that, is what actually happens in other states. There are states that have tremendous mail-in elections, huge parts of the elections, and nobody has said that they're somehow fraud with that. So that's one of the ways that will be dealt with. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Hello, professor. Thanks for the soapbox.
Go right ahead. You're on.
Okay. So I just want to say your callers are all amazing. Thank you, smart people. the other thing I wanted to say is, as far as the virus, yes, it is real. And right now we have a governor who will not cover our rent, our bills, and all of the other countries had that covered, most of them. We do not have that covered. Therefore, we have all these people out there going to work. Stop shaming people for going to work when we can't pay our bills. I'm tired of it.
Okay, let's go to our next caller, and I think this may be our final caller, Ashley. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
My name is Ken. I just want to make an interesting point about the virus in Wuhan. In October of last year, China had, well, it's the world. They have every 4 years, it's called the Military Olympics. Just like the regular Olympics, where different nations send the military to partake in sports games. And Wuhan was the vicinity of the last Olympics they had in October of last year. And it's 2 weeks after the Olympics, they noticed the virus started popping up in Wuhan. And when they reverse trace the activities of the different nations, the Chinese noticed the particular penchant of the American troops hanging out in the Wuhan, in the wet market, in that area. That's a very interesting point there that people need to look into. It's called the Military Olympics. It takes place every 4 years by different countries. And China did this in October of last year.
Okay, thanks much. Appreciate it. Final caller, good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor. Please turn your radio down, please, and make your comment. Come straight ahead. We've got only a few minutes left, and I need a few minutes to comment.
Okay.
Right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, me thinking that Bill Gates, a couple of years ago, he said, there are too many poor people in the world. You know what his money bag is. Okay, so there are too many of us in the world, and this is a way of getting rid of most of us. Okay, and I'm kind of glad the Orange Man is there, because now we got our heads out of the sand, and we said, whoa, what's going on here now? What's all this about? So it's good maybe he's there so that we can get up and do what we have to do.
All right. Okay, appreciate it very much. Well, I hope we have more time next week, because I really, really, really want to get into this. I think it's very helpful. Appreciate everybody's opinions. We appreciate everybody's opinions. Let me just, and we'll address it more next time. First of all, Charles Barron will hopefully be on next week to talk about Cuomo's hypocrisy. We weren't able to get that in today. But let me just say this. This virus, from wherever it came from, is an equal opportunity destroyer. If you think that the empire, in order to control, and this is one of the comments that I was on a podcast, and they said this is not a coronavirus, it's a control us virus, meaning particularly black people. If you think that these people who are addicted to money would lose trillions and trillions of dollars to control you, you better have another thought coming. That's the first thing. They ain't doing that. They don't have to do that, right? Secondly, this virus is no respecter of persons. It's hitting white people, rich people, poor people, all kind of people. There's no rich person exemption. They're not going to unleash something like this so that just the control. Yeah, the issue is the disproportionate impact on poor people, which we need to address, and we will. But the idea that somehow, you know, like rich white people ain't going to die, middle class white people ain't going to die from this is not true. And we need to get that. I mean, you can keep it in your head. It will not be in my head. The other thing is finding there's no contradiction between marching in the streets, and we need to be in the street. Red vest, orange vest, whatever the hell we have, fine. But somebody is going to make a policy decision. And I do not understand how the most politically sophisticated cannot see that there are some people fighting for those wages, for those benefits, from the very things that people say they need, and that there are others who are not doing that. And so somehow both of them are conspiring. They may be conspiring, but it ain't evident in terms of the objective look at reality. And that does not mean, therefore, we don't need to be in the streets and that we don't need to be fighting for more fundamental change. Anyway, go to the website, IBW21.org. Please look at the resources that are assembled there, IBW21.org. We'll be back next week. Actually, we have a panel talking about what's the coronavirus and pandemic in Africa and in the Caribbean. But also, we'll have at least another half hour to be on the soapbox. This is the professor. Keep the faith and be safe. We'll see you again next week.